Joe LaVey's Concerto No. 2 for Trumpet, Wynton Marsalis and the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Esa-Pekka Salonen. Thanks for joining us for Saturday Classical. Coming up right now, Joel Block and Stardate, followed by Brain Damage with Eric Corley, here on Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate November 4th. We often talk of spacecraft that look outward. Orbiting satellites have mapped the sky at infrared wavelengths and identified objects that shine brightly in the ultraviolet region of the electromagnetic spectrum. Still, other spacecraft perform experiments that are impossible to do on Earth. All of these things are important. Yet the small spacecraft that humans have launched into space also look inward at our own lovely, fragile planet. Since the early 1960s, satellites have mapped Earth's weather, helping forecasters improve the accuracy of their predictions. And since the 1970s, satellites have studied both land and sea to help us locate mineral deposits, draw more accurate maps, spot crop diseases, and in general, add to our knowledge of planet Earth. In recent years, special orbiting radar systems have located long-buried rivers in the Sahara Desert and Mayan ruins in the dense jungles of Central America. Satellites also were the first to spot a hole in Earth's protective ozone layer. Scientists are even using satellite images to chart changes in active volcanoes. Tomorrow we'll tell you about an ambitious plan to place a whole fleet of sophisticated Earth-observing satellites in orbit to give us more details on our planet and its delicate ecosystem. Our program is Stardate. Today's show was written by Damon Benningfield. We'd like to send you a copy of Stardate magazine. If you want to receive one, you'll need to send us your name, your address, and $1 to cover postage and handling to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78712, and we always ask that you let us know where you listen to Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory and our writer-producer, Deborah Bird, I'm Joel Block.
Well, I don't understand, because he said Damon Butterfield or somebody wrote that thing, and then he says credit to writer Deborah Bird. Now, they both have the same initials. I'm not going to insinuate anything here, but it sounds damn suspicious to me.
Come out and say it!
Well, I just think it's damn suspicious, don't you?
I don't know.
Jim, you almost tripped. This just happened moments ago, folks, in our studios. Jim almost tripped.
Now, not hallucinogenically.
Uh-huh. Hey, bring the mic up to the table. Get the full details there.
Hi. Yes, it was at this very site at which I stand, there was a record. It was not really in a bad place. It's just I wasn't looking where I was going. I was so inspired.
Folks can't see this, so let me try to paint the picture. Jim has to walk clear around the console to get to the meter reading equipment there. It's a very dangerous setup. We've talked to management about it many times, but they won't do a thing. You know, it's typical. So he almost tripped, and thank God for workman's comp, eh?
No, it's my fault really, because I was so inspired by the dissertation by Joel.
Jim
Bach.
Has been bullied into submission, whatever that word is.
No.
Actually blaming himself for something.
Well, many years ago, I used to be in management here myself, so I can. I don't think that there's any kind of.
So you sold out.
Lapse on the part of management? Yeah. No, I don't. Didn't get paid.
Uh-huh. You're the go-between we're looking for, the person that's leaking all the secrets out, eh?
No.
I'll have to deal with you. I'll have Rocco come up here later and talk some sense.
Oh, Rocco. Oh, how about Stono?
No, he works for PKM.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I was so inspired by Joel Block. I wanted to gaze up at the stars, and instead I'm gazing up at this acoustical tile, and I tripped over the record, and that's the story.
Because you were looking heavenward.
That's right. That's right.
That should tell you something. Keep your eyes out of the stars, even when Joel Block is on. Just look straight ahead. Better yet, cast your eyes downward.
Go to Grauman's Chinese Theater. Look at the stars on the sidewalk.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, what's this, a message? Oh. Okay, yeah, I got that message already. I just didn't get it in writing. Okay, great. Crumple it up now. Yes, good evening. It's brain damage time. Time for brain damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook, 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. People, get your tape recorders ready because we have a half-hour special for you before we begin the regular program. We've got Brain Damage Incorporated. You may have heard it before. You may not have. If you haven't, it might be worth your while because it's good. It's nice to have around. But while you're getting your tape recorders and finding half an hour's worth of tape, We're going to play a special public service announcement, and then we're going to come back after the special presentation and take your phone calls and talk about all kinds of junk and stuff like that. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. First, this public service announcement, and then Brain Damage Incorporated.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Yes, the rhythm, the rebel. Without a pause, I'm lowering my level. The hard rhymer, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling? You know it's time again. See, the enemy telling you to hear it. They praise the music, it's time to play the lyric. Some say no to the album, the show. Bum rush the sound, I made a year ago. I guess you know, you guess I'm just a radical. Not on sabbatical, yes, to make it critical. The only part of your body should be part of it too.
Amazing, folks. It's amazing. I was sitting on the other side of the room when this happened, okay? There's a record, okay? It's Boogie Down Productions, in fact. This is incredible. Boogie Down Productions, Ghetto Music, The Blueprint of Hip Hop. Sitting here on the console, all of a sudden, by itself, it falls down onto the turntable and knocks the stylus clear onto the label part, which is what we're hearing now. That's almost sounds like that frozen pizza we played one night. Well, enough of that. But what's amazing is it's Boogie Down Productions that did that. And it did it all by itself. I was nowhere near it. It just sort of fell down. Wow. I'm beginning to think this place is haunted. Speaking of which, well, I guess there's nothing more we can say about Public Enemy. We'll be talking about Halloween and everything like that and what we did here last week and all kinds of neat, exciting, fun things. Boy, that was a bit of radio history, wasn't it? And I was the only witness to it. Well, time for Brain Damage Incorporated. Get your tape recorders out, yes, and be prepared to call us in a little while at 632-6901 to spout out your various rhetoric and things like that. In the meantime, here we go.
If you rewind the tape or start over again, I may proceed, but I do not find it possible to proceed with the tape at the present moment. In fact, I refuse to proceed any further. I am staying in my church until you rewind that tape and I can go once again.
This is no
This transmission is coming to you approximately halfway between the moon and the earth.
McDonald's, may I help you?
Yeah, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. Now, I'm on a special diet, so I can't have some foods.
But I wanted to taste the McDonald's for a while now. Could you possibly tell me what exactly goes into a Big Mac?
Okay. On a Big Mac, it has the beef, the hamburger meat, right?
Uh-huh.
And it has a special sauce. It has a special sauce with onions and lettuce and two pickles and a slice of cheese.
Now, do you know what the special sauce consists of?
Could you hold on for 1 second?
Yeah, I can hold on.
All right.
Sodium foods with not a lot of salt.
Uh-huh.
And I can't have things with iodine.
Uh-huh.
Or glycerin.
Uh-huh.
Or hypoglycerates.
Hypoglycerates?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you can have a Big Mac then.
Okay, thank you very much.
The number you have reached, 1, has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Once again for the Uncle Rodney and Captain Christopher show. I'm Uncle Rodney, and here's Captain Christopher to tell you what we're going to be doing today.
Thanks, Rod. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving today, kids. It's right around the corner.
It sure is, Captain, and you know what else is right around the corner? Marxist Revolution!
By golly, you're right, Uncle Rodney. And when that happens, every day will be Thanksgiving, kids.
We'll give thanks that we no longer have those smelly capitalists cracking the whip over people like you and your parents.
Unfortunately, there's only one day a year right now for Thanksgiving, and there's not all that much to give thanks for.
Oppression, depression, recession.
The corrupt power structure.
Unemployment.
Tax breaks for the rich.
We're going to learn a new word today, boys and girls. It's the word hypocrite.
That's what we call anyone who celebrates Thanksgiving. Now, don't worry if that doesn't make sense to you now, kids. Just remember that it's true.
You'll understand why sooner than you think.
Now, what can you kids do to help destroy this horrible rich man's holiday?
Keep asking questions. That's one thing the capitalist bourgeois elite hates more than anything else.
Ask questions like, why don't the masses share the wealth of the DuPonts? Or, why do the fascist leaders always stay home and send our soldiers out to fight in imperialist wars?
Now, that may not sound like much, but when you 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds at the dinner table start asking these questions on Thanksgiving Day, your parents will stand up and take notice.
And so will your brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, and grandparents.
And then they'll be the ones to start asking those same questions. And soon, before you know it, millions and millions of people will be asking those questions day and night.
And it'll all be because of you kids out there. Think of that.
That's right. But you have to hurry up, because after about 20 years, everyone will start to realize that there are no answers to these questions.
That's when a spontaneous movement of the people will topple the elite into the rat-infested sewers.
And by that time, you kids will be old enough to pass judgment on some of the leaders of today's corrupted government.
Wouldn't it be fun to send the entire House of Representatives to the gas chamber?
Or, better yet, why not turn it into a gas chamber?
And after that, you boys and girls will have the sole responsibility of installing a progressive Marxist state sensitive to the needs of the proletariat.
And you won't ever have to worry about someone toppling your government, because nobody will ever disagree with you.
Doesn't that sound nice, kids?
Death to the fascist imperialists!
Glory to the revolution!
On with the struggle!
And that's all we have time for this week. We sure hope you boys and girls remember everything we've talked about today.
If not, a complete cassette transcript is available.
Start the revolution on Thanksgiving Day, kids, and don't forget to spread the word in your school.
And if you want your own Uncle Rodney and Captain Christopher Guy to Overthrowing the Government and Coloring Book, send a certified check or money order for $17.95 to Book, P.O. Box 1, Washington, D.C.
Until next time, I'm Captain Christopher.
And I'm Uncle Rodney.
Bye-bye, kids.
Bye!
You can eat chicken and die.
Oh, God, no. No way.
There is some contamination in commercially produced chicken.
But I eat chicken daily.
With all the thousands of chickens cooped up together, and when disease runs rampant through the whole flock, then, you know, they give them a lot of drugs.
No way.
Give them a lot of drugs.
No way. Oh, God, no. No, no way.
You can eat chicken and die.
No way.
You can eat
chicken. Oh, God. No, no way. Chicken is actually meat. Did you know that?
I eat chicken daily.
It's got a stink. Chicken is actually meat. It's got a stink. It's got to be rotten. Did you know that?
I don't know. We all have to die, sir. Whether it's by eating chicken or eating something or whatever. Whatever
sticks,
we're going to die. So why should you worry about that?
How would we know that they died from bad chicken? You know what I mean? It stinks. How would we know?
You can eat chicken and die.
Oh, God, no. No, no way.
It's a poison in it. People are dying.
Give them a lot of drugs.
People who die from chicken.
Mostly they get sick. You salmonella poisoning, you get really ill. It almost, you get flu-like symptoms.
When you prick it, there won't be any blood coming out.
Fever, nausea, vomiting, and it's very uncomfortable.
Depending on how big the chicken is.
There is some contamination, and it's very uncomfortable.
You can eat chicken and die.
Mostly they get sick.
You have to wash it very good.
Did you know that?
You have to wash it very good.
Did you know that?
I don't know. We all have to die, sir. Whether it's by eating chicken or eating something or whatever.
You can eat chicken and die.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Give them a lot of drugs. It's very uncomfortable. Disease runs rampant.
No way. Did you know that? No way. You gotta leave it out for like 48 hours. Chicken is actually meat. You know what I mean? It stinks.
I eat chicken daily. People who die.
It's very uncomfortable.
You can eat chicken and die.
Whatever it takes, we're gonna die. So why should you worry about that?
You deserve to die. You know what I mean? It stinks. Did you know that?
TNT, may I help you?
Is there an AT&T coffee who knows German?
You need to call to Germany?
Is there an AT&T coffee who knows German?
One moment. No, sir. Nobody here speaks German. Only English and little Spanish.
I know little English.
You know a little English?
I'd like to make a restroom to California.
Do you know the number?
Yes. But not joint. joint, hey, 2 9 2 5 1 5 5.
Where you call it, California? What part of California? What city?
Palunska.
Palunska, California? Palo Alto?
Yes.
Okay.
Restroom.
Restroom?
Yes.
You're calling to a restroom?
No, no. A restroom call.
A restroom call? I don't...
A restroom.
You want to pay for the call here? You want to call collect? You want the people you're calling to?
Yes, collect. Restroom.
Collect. Okay. Moment. I have to get area code.
Restroom is not English word?
The restroom is bathroom here.
Oh, I got killed. I have to get the area code. I make jokes.
Who do you want to speak to?
Svenko.
Svenko?
Svenko.
Svenko.
Yeah.
Let me see. You don't have the area code?
No.
No? You don't have the area code?
292.
292, that's the number.
Oh.
You need an area code before that. Okay. It's in Palo Alto, A-L-T-O?
A-L-T-O. Yeah.
Okay, that area code is 415.
Four.
Oh. But there's no 292. There's no 292 in that area. Do you understand?
No. There is no coffee that knows German?
No. No. No one.
Okay, thank you mostly.
You're welcome. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you mostly.
I'd like to address myself to all of the citizens of this fine country of ours. America, we need defense. We need it bad. Remember, a strong defense makes sense. And right now, our defense is in an awful state. Why? Because not enough of you people care enough to support it. Why, I'll bet there are a good many of you out there right now who have not given us control of your savings accounts yet. Or arrange to have your paychecks mailed directly to us to save time. We need your money. We need more than UNICEF or Public Television or Amnesty International or any of those other faggots. We give you something they don't. We give you security. Protection against aggression. We have more nuclear warheads, B-52s, and submarines than we can count. And they're all there to protect you. When those Russians come marching over the hills, we're going to have enough ammunition to blow them to the moon. But that's not enough. We want to send them to Mars, and we want to have enough left over for the Chinese. And don't forget those Iranians. Now, there are a lot of communists and homosexuals out there who say they don't like the Defense Department. They say they don't trust us. Well, let me tell you something. This is a free country, and the only way it's going to stay free is if we lock people like that up so they can't do any harm. It's people like that who say that it was wrong to go into Vietnam. Poppycock. A lot of good things came out of that. The Boys in Company C, Coming Home, and The Deer Hunter. Three of the most popular movies of the 1970s, all about Vietnam. And if these subversives had had their way, you wouldn't have been able to enjoy them. That's the way those pinkos operate. First they take away your entertainment, then they'll take away McDonald's. We know that good, wholesome Americans don't want that. So if you send us a little extra money, we'll try to put some of those commies on a rocket ship and send them to Neptune or something. See how they like that. In the meantime, keep on sending us money for our day-to-day operations. If everybody would just cut back and have one meal a day, they'd be able to save up more money to send us. Now, if we get enough by the end of the year, we'll be able to show the deer hunter on every plane we send to El Salvador. Just our way of saying thanks.
Return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
This is the Vice President.
That's the Vice President. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, guy.
A very enthusiastic crowd here, as you can hear.
Well, listen, I just called in to thank you and everybody else for this hard work up there, and I hope we have something to celebrate. Have you got any yet? Isn't get any returns on how our tickets and all of that?
Well, we don't have any returns yet, but I think that it's safe to say that you're going to sweep the state and almost unanimously.
In the hotly contested fight, thought we had every card, and I'll tell you what, I think a great fall, I great running whoever did that today, we've begun to try to get this focused Democrat.
We're having some technical difficulties here, as they say. We're not able to read you very well.
Well, I'm not saying a hell of a lot either.
Could you share with us, if you will, we have quite a few members of the press here. Could you share with us your feeling as to the future in the general election?
Well, what I was affecting to say is that as I look at what's happening on the Democratic side, it may that we have not really done yet to run against the Democrat, and as soon as they have their nominee, I'll be at it, and others can take message, and I think it's a very good choice for the voters.
Well, we thank you very much for your call. We all love you. We look forward to working alongside of you. You preach loyalty, Mr. Vice President. You practice loyalty, and you're about to see loyalty come back to your favor. Right. Are you still there, Mr. Vice President? Are you still there by any chance?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
The building
is designed to withstand the impact of the Boeing 727 at landing speeds without causing any disruption of any safety-related equipment.
Good evening. You've reached our voice-activated switchboard. Please speak in a loud, clear tone of voice. Please tell me your telephone number.
718-6134.
Your telephone number is 718-6164.
No.
If this is correct, say yes. If this is not correct, say no.
No.
Your telephone number is incorrect. Please tell me your telephone number.
718-6134.
Your telephone number is 718-6134. If this is correct, say yes.
Yes.
If this is not correct, say no.
Yes.
Your telephone number is correct.
Yes.
Please tell me your Social Security number.
What?
Your Social Security number is what? If this is correct, say yes. If this is not correct, say no.
So yes. Oh, God.
Your Social Security number is correct. Please describe the nature of your problem.
Wrong number.
The nature of your problem is wrong number. If this is correct, say yes. If this is not correct, say no.
Yes.
Your problem is correct. Please describe what you would like us to do.
You can give me credit.
You would like credit from us. If this is correct, say yes. If this is not correct, say no.
This is bullshit. Yes.
Please describe the amount of credit you would like.
Whatever the call cost.
I'm sorry, I must have a number in your answer.
Oh, Jesus.
If you would like us to calculate the credit, please say yes at this point.
Yes.
Please tell me what number you were trying to call.
201-6132.
The number is 201-6132. If this is correct, say yes. If this is not correct, say no.
Yes.
Please hold while I calculate the credit.
I can't believe they waste this much time to do this.
The amount of credit required is $17.63. If this is acceptable, say yes. If this is not acceptable, say no.
So yes.
We will mail you a check for the amount of money. If this is acceptable, say yes. If this is not acceptable, say no.
Yes.
Thank you for calling and for being so patient.
Oh, God, help me.
Please call again.
Do I hang up now?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Weather experts say the winds have now changed and appear to be carrying the radiation back toward the Soviet Union.
Oh, what a nice transformer. Oh, what a nice transformer. My God. I'm going to experiment with it. That's what I got it for, was for experimental purposes. But if I wanted to, I'm going to be doing up a Ranger 2 that I have for my own use.
Emergency measures have been taken to eliminate the aftermath of Rockwell. Not all cancer plants in the nearby areas have fallen off. Aid is being extended to those affected.
Unbelievable. Well, where I'm thinking of using this thing is a driver transformer because it's center tap. It series up the windings like 5K, step up to 6K. The DC resistance is a little high, so, you know, it'd be good for something like lower mean triodes.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're here today to talk to Archibald McFranklin. Arch is going to tell us about...
Excuse me. I would rather prefer you not call me Arch. I can't tell you how much I despise that name.
Oh, I see.
All my life I've had to put up with that. You understand, it's not like I'm trying to be pompous or anything.
No, that's perfectly all right.
Good.
I suppose Archie is right out, too.
Please, just call me Mr. McFranklin with a capital F. Heck, you can even call me Mac, or Frank, or anything, really.
All right, well, we're here today with Mr. McFranklin, who's going to tell us about an organization that he started up over the summer.
Actually, I think Mac would be the best. Mr. McFranklin, with a capital F. It sounds too damn formal.
Mr. McFranklin, Mac, that is.
Thank you, Mac.
Has been working on a brand new movement in this country.
Well, let me just set you straight on something here. You can't work on a movement. A movement has to occur.
Uh-huh.
It's not something that can be planned. It has to be the spontaneous expression of a large mass of people.
Oh. Well, Mac, why don't you just tell the folks at home what you have going?
No, I think I'll do that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a major problem facing everybody who speaks the English language. Do you know what that problem is? We're running out of vowels.
Okay, could you perhaps explain that a little?
I plan to. Now, folks, a vowel is a precious thing. There aren't all that many of them to start with. There's A, E, I, O, and U.
And sometimes Y?
Well, yeah, on occasion, but not nearly as much as it used to be. Now, these vowels, they're like bridges, if you will, that connect land masses together. The land masses I'm referring to are, of course, consonants, and there are a whopping 21 of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you can see, the vowel is already an endangered species.
All right, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what leads you to believe that there is a more immediate problem?
Well, the vowel has lived in relative peace ever since it was first invented. It was only natural that if you had a couple of consonants, you'd link them together with a vowel, or sometimes two. For instance, I'll give you an example. Let's put a B and a D together.
Okay.
Now, what do you have? There's really not all that much you can do with that, and it doesn't sound all that nice. Does it? Try it out.
Yes, you're right.
Right. Now here comes a vowel running to our rescue. It's an A, and that A implants itself right in the middle of that awful-sounding word, and what do we have? The word bad, which is an apt description of what we had before.
Yeah.
Now, here comes another vowel. This one's an E. It does the same thing, and we have the word bed. Here comes an I. Now we have bid. An O makes bod, which I believe is a slang expression among young people. And U creates the word bud. It's absolutely marvelous.
Yes, it certainly is.
How often have you wanted to scream, "Oh, thank God for vowels"?
Not as often as I should, I must admit.
So the problem of appreciation is an ever-present one. But to answer your question about immediacy, a new problem has begun to manifest itself.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you ever look at the listings in the telephone book?
Oh, I thought that was a rhetorical question.
It wasn't.
Yes, I have.
Well, then, you must notice that next to a person's name, there's generally an address.
That's true. There is, in little tiny print.
Right. But that's not where the problem lies. The problem is that every word in the address has the vowels plucked right out of it.
You don't say.
Yeah. Now, let's say someone lived on 14 Saddlebrook Road in Rochester. Now, do you know how that would read in the phone book?
How?
Well, the 14 would be numeric, and they don't touch those. But the rest of it would read something like Saddlebrook Road, Rochester. I don't know about you, but that doesn't exactly roll off my tongue.
No, it sounds rather harsh and unpleasant. Now, do you and your followers believe that the elimination of the vowel is intentional and perhaps part of a master plan of some sort?
Oh, yes, of course. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this is only the beginning of a long and dark age where the vowel will be cut back in ever-increasing numbers and eventually eliminated altogether. One day it'll be illegal to use vowels in any form, unless, of course, we do something now.
but why, for heaven's sake, would anyone want to destroy vowels?
It does seem a bit strange. I'll have to grant you that. But if you look at what's been happening in the 20th century, you'll see there's a lot of emphasis lately on efficiency and quickness. Mm-hmm. Computers, robots, mechanical perfection. Slowly, the human element is being wiped out. Everything's got to be fast and accurate or it won't be tolerated. In other words, the days of imperfection are grinding to a halt.
But what does that have to do with vowels?
Well, you see, vowels take more time to say. It takes longer to say anti-disestablishmentarianism than it does to say anti-disestablishmentarism. Therefore, the latter is considered more efficient, more time-saving, and hence, more desirable.
Well, that's downright frightening.
Yes, it is, and it's downright ignorant, too. Because without vowels, there's a lot you can't do. Let's say you want to scream. A scream is composed of the letter A repeated many times, or the letter E, depending on your personal preference. Ah! That will be a sound of the past, and I just wonder what they're thinking of replacing it with. The letter S? That won't make a good scream, nor would the letter B. You can't even keep that going longer than a second.
Yes, but...
Or let's just say you have something really good to eat. I'm used to saying, There are a lot of A's in there, and there's just no way you'll be able to communicate that expression without a vowel. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
The what?
That's iceberg. You see how hard it's going to be?
It sounds almost like a foreign language.
Now, I'm very glad you picked up on that. Have you ever looked at the Russian alphabet?
Well, no, not lately, I don't think.
Well, there aren't many vowels in there. Rather an odd coincidence, wouldn't you say?
Well, are you implying that the Russians are behind the elimination of the English vowel?
Well, the purpose of this vowel movement of ours is not to cast blame or raise suspicions, although the Russians could certainly be considered prime suspects. Do you know they even have a backwards R, just like little kids draw? I think world literacy is their goal.
But that's not necessarily the view of the entire vowel movement, is it?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I'll see my wife tonight and I'll ask her what she thinks.
You mean...
Well, you see, we're not exactly a massive movement just yet, but you wait and see. They'll write books about us someday. I just hope they'll have lots of vowels in them.
Archibald McFranklin, thank you for being with us today, and good luck saving the vowel.
Thanks. Good day.
What?
Only kidding.
Good morning, Long Island, take another look at Stony Brook. Well, coming to you from Loudon and Steve and Biff and Sue. WUSB. Man, I'm Long Island bound. That's the only little old radio station for little old me. Thank you.
And you can stop your tape recorders now, because that's about all from Brain Damage Incorporated, not including that last song from Steve Goodman, which was actually a song from before this radio station even went on the air, because that was a song dedicated to the old AM days. We had to, in fact, cut a lyric there that said 8:20 on the AM dial, because it doesn't make any sense now, obviously. It's 10:47, and this is Brain Damage. It's a call-in program, so if you have something to say, call in, and we'll pick up and let you say it on the air. 632-6901. Aren't many places that let you speak freely, you know, without fear these days. Yes, you know, I'm becoming a pessimist. I'm convinced of that now, because I'm always saying that certain things you just can't do anymore, and it's all getting worse, and I read these depressing stories, and, you know, this is no exception. I got lots of depressing stories. But I did discover something that was fun, okay? While I was listening to that tape, and, well, roaring with laughter and all that kind of thing, it's amazing stuff, I mean, after all these years. But while I was doing that, I was also playing with the phones again. I always do that. You know, I can't help it. And I figured out how to do something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. You see, here, this real intelligent phone system, they block things. They won't let you dial certain things. And one of the things they won't let you dial is telephone repair, because there's no reason for you to dial telephone repair, because this phone system doesn't use the phone company. It uses its own phone company. So if you were to call telephone repair, you would confuse them. Now, obviously, the nature of this program is to confuse as many people as possible, so it's always been kind of a dilemma for me that I'm not able to access telephone repair. But while I was playing that tape, it finally came to me how to do it. Now, I can't, of course, reveal my methods, but I can demonstrate them, and that is what I'm about to do right now. Because telephone repair, if you haven't called it recently, has a brand new type of device. Listen to this.
Good evening. You have reached New York Telephone Repair Service.
At this time, we are experiencing a work stoppage.
To continue, press 1.
I will press 1.
This is an automated repair service line.
No kidding.
You will be asked a series of questions to help us repair the trouble. Most questions will require a yes or a no response. Yes is always indicated by pressing 1, no by pressing 2. In all cases, you will be given instructions. Should you require an agent at any time during this call, press 0. Please enter the area code and telephone number that you are reporting. If you make a mistake, press the star key. Enter the area code and telephone number now.
Now I'm going to enter my phone number here, 632-6901, and it will probably refuse to accept it since it's not a real telephone number.
You have entered area code 516. And phone number 6326901. If this number is correct, press 1. If incorrect, press 2. Please hold on momentarily while we retrieve your repair records.
They're not going to find them.
Please hold for the next available agent.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what we figured would happen. The thing is, you have to enter a valid number that's served by New York Telephone, and that particular phone number is what we call a direct inward dial, or DID number. It's not the same thing. It's not a real phone number. It's hard to explain, but believe me, it's true. So I've taken the liberty of going through the phone book here, and I don't want to send repairmen to people's houses or anything like that. And I don't want to send repairmen anywhere, but I do want to demonstrate the capabilities of this system. And I figured, where else to send a repairman if we had to do it than to New York Telephone themselves? Because we're certainly having lots of trouble with them lately. Their phone system is really falling to pieces because they're all on strike, and the phone company doesn't seem at all interested in fixing the strike. In fact, I got into a very lengthy discussion last night with somebody at our monthly hacker meeting who was telling me how 9X is trying to bust the union, you know, and after, I think it's 7 months or so, after 7 months they have to fold the union if they're still on strike, or some crap like that, I don't know. But it seems to me, my interpretation of this whole 9X strike is that it certainly doesn't hurt the phone company any to have them out on strike. I mean, look at it. Look at it from their point of view. They're not paying the people who are walking around on strike, and they get to accuse them of all kinds of sabotage, which may or may not be true. Who knows? But it's good PR when that happens. And they charge full rates for us, the poor customers. We're not getting any discount on this, although there is starting finally to be some talk of getting a discount. So they're doing quite well, and there's nothing for us to do. There's no competition. There's nowhere else we can go. So we've got a phone number here. Let's see. How about 9X? Oh, no, New York Telephone. That's an 800 number. That won't work. Okay, then we'll go for 9X Business Centers. This may or may not work, and if it doesn't work, we'll just skip it and go on to our next feature, which will be phone calls at 632-6901. Let's try accessing that again. That's the good old... And the funny thing about this this telephone repair, this automated telephone repair network, is that it takes much longer for you, the customer, to tell what the problem is.
You have reached New York Telephone.
I go through these endless menus.
At this time, we are experiencing a work stoppage.
To continue, press 1.
God forbid you don't have a touch-tone phone.
This is an automated repair service line. You will be asked a series of questions to help us repair the trouble. Most questions will require a yes or a no response. Yes is always indicated by pressing 1, no by pressing 2. In all cases, you will be given instructions.
There's no way to bypass this announcement, by the way.
If you require an agent at any time during this call, press 0. Please enter the area code and telephone number that you are reporting. If you make a mistake, press the star key. Enter the area code and telephone number now.
Okay, 9X Business Centers.
You have entered area code 516 and phone number 9331881. If this number is correct, press 1. Please hold on momentarily while we retrieve your repair records. Thank you for waiting. We have your records. Let's continue.
Okay.
If you should need to start over at any time, press the star key. Are you having trouble getting a dial tone? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
What do you say? No, no trouble there.
Are you having trouble calling out? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
No trouble calling out.
Is there noise, static, or interference on the line? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
What do we say for that one? No.
Are you having trouble receiving calls? If yes, press 1.
Yes,
if
I am no, having trouble receiving
2.
Calls. Because we're not getting enough calls. Okay, yes, definitely.
Is the trouble on all your telephones on this line? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2. If you do not know, press 3.
Yes.
Our test shows that your trouble may be caused by your telephone equipment. We must advise you that if our repair person visits your home and finds the problem to be caused by your telephone set, we cannot fix it. In addition, we must bill you for the visit. We suggest you try a different telephone on the line or have your phone checked by the manufacturer. Do you wish to continue with the trouble call?
This is the best part.
If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
I'm going to say no, and listen to what happens. It just hangs up on you. Like, can you imagine if a real person did that? Do you want to continue? No. That's it. It's all over. Incredible. Well, at least that worked. We didn't send a repair person out to 9X, though we certainly should have. Now, you dial 611, you can do all kinds of neat things, I guess. What's fun about that, you might have noticed they said our tests indicate, which means they actually test the line while you're there. In fact, if you're on the line, you'll hear a click, and it's kind of neat the way they do that. And there's another system, too. I'm not sure if I can access that. I haven't tried yet, but I'm going to try now. One moment. Okay, this is the credit system.
Welcome to New York Telephone's automated credit system. To receive a credit for service difficulty within your local calling area, simply hang up at the sound of the tone. For additional credit assistance, please stay on the line.
We'll stay on the line. You get connected to another computer with a very staticky voice.
Welcome to the New York Telephone Automated Credit Bureau. Please use your touchtone telephone keypad to enter 1 now. Enter the area code and number that you called now. If you would like the credit applied to your telephone number, enter 1 now. Otherwise, enter 2 now.
I'll enter 2.
Please hold, and an operator will answer.
Oh, no, 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 no. No humans. No humans allowed. Now, what's really amazing, I guess I should demonstrate this because you'll see how unfair and unjust it is firsthand. Let's just pretend I called this thing, and I don't have a touchtone phone. A lot of people don't have touchtone phones.
Your telephone's automated credit system. To receive a credit for service difficulty within your local calling area, simply hang up at the sound of the tone. For additional credit assistance, please stay on the line.
Okay, now I don't have a touchtone phone, so I can't press numbers or anything like that. So I'm just going to stay on and talk to a person.
Welcome to the New York Telephone Automated Credit Bureau. Please use your touchtone telephone keypad to enter 1 now.
Don't have a touchtone phone? I can't do that.
Please hold, and an operator will answer.
Sounds fair enough to me.
We're sorry. Due to a 9X work stoppage, the credit bureau is temporarily closed at this time. If you require credit for a service difficulty, please record the details and contact the credit bureau immediately following the work stoppage. Credit will be applied at that time. We apologize for any inconvenience. Thank you.
Give me a bleeding break here. We're supposed to write down all of the times that 9X screws up and give it all to them at the end of this strike? That's preposterous. That's amazing. It's simply unbelievable. So if you don't subscribe to that, and you know they still have people calling you, nagging you to subscribe for touchtone service and all that crap. Why can't they put them to work taking the credit information? I just don't understand it. So a lot of people aren't going to report the trouble because they don't keep track of it, you know, for 4 months or however long it's been, and as a result, 9X will simply clean up as they've been doing. Oh, well, enough about that. Of course, if you want repair information, you want to see what that system can do, it's 611 if you want credit, 211, and that's the latest in technology. And it's kind of interesting, too, that they've introduced those things now, after the strike, to replace people, even though it doesn't really replace anyone. All it replaces is the person that, the repair thing, for instance, it just replaces the person that takes that information and can talk to you back and forth a little better than the computer can. It doesn't replace the people that have to go out and fix the thing, and it allows for a lot of false reports to be filed. So it's not really saving anybody anything. But it is fun, isn't it? 632-6901, area code 516. We'll start taking calls as soon as some more calls come in. We're waiting for you. 632-6901, 11 o'clock, WUSB in Stony Brook. Got a lot of things also to talk about that's going on here. But let's see what you have. Good evening.
Hi, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bayshore.
Bayshore. Okay. What's on your mind?
You talked about sound sweeps a couple weeks ago, and I found one.
Sound sweeps?
Yeah, you know how it starts out at a low frequency and it increases to a high frequency and then starts over again.
Are you near a radio, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm gonna see if this is what you're talking about. So just listen over your radio, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just see if we've got the right thing here. We're on the same wavelength. I wonder if that's what he's talking about. Is that what you were talking about, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. What about it?
Do you know what the point of it is?
Other than to keep our listeners amused, I think it's for testing out the response on a telephone set. It was used more frequently when phones were actually given out by the phone company, obviously. But it's also used on a line, like if a repairman's up on a pole somewhere, he'll call that number to see if if the line is any good, if it's getting all the frequencies and that kind of thing.
Oh, because I called it up, I told my friends about it, and they're trying to figure out what it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we can't give out the exact number, but we can.
I know. You gave out the last 4 digits.
Okay. I did that. Well, I'm not going to do that tonight, but I will give out the first 2 digits of the suffix, which are always 99. Like, you would dial your exchange, and then 99XX. That's where you find a lot more things besides sweep tones there, which is what that's called. You find all kinds of weird recordings.
I heard there's, they have like, toll loops or something where you can make free phone calls?
They used to have loops, yeah. In fact, it used to be, I think, 9901. Like, you would dial, like, 246-9901, and somebody else would dial 246-99002 or 06 or something like that, and they'd be linked together.
Right.
It's kind of neat. There's no real advantage to it unless somebody else calls it collect.
Yeah.
You accept the charges, but these days that's impossible to do, virtually impossible. But let me play you something that you might find interesting. It's an example of a recording that you would get on one of those 99 numbers. I'll see if it's still connected. Hold on one moment.
Okay.
And oh yes, phones are so much fun. What was that number? I might not get it right. In fact, I'm sure I'm not going to get it right. Hold on. I think that's it. I could be wrong. No.
Number you have reached.
No, sorry, Chris, that wasn't it. I'm going to try one more.
All right.
It's kind of hard to do this on the air. You know, you have to sort of do this privately and then present the results on the air.
You have called a number on your party line. Please hang up your phone. The number you have called will ring. Lift your receiver after 15 seconds and... You have called a number on your party line. Please hang up your phone. The number you have called will ring. Lift your receiver after 15 seconds and...
You'd think he would have re-recorded that after he fell off his stool, but I guess he just didn't have time. That's an example of the kind of things you can get. Yeah, either that or he was attacked or something. Who knows? But... Yeah, there's all kinds of things out there. You know, there's one that says, I found this one last week sometime, where it says, please insert your 9X calling card now. And, you know, where do you insert it if you're calling, from your home phone? Also, another one says, this call cannot be completed without you inserting 25 cents. Now, you call that with an operator on the line that knows you're not at a payphone, and you'll just completely confuse her. She'll say, I don't know what to do, Obviously, you can't give me a quarter, you can have lots of fun. Yep.
Interesting.
And another one says the number you are calling from is out of service at this time. Yeah, there's all kinds of weird ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any interesting equipment left open. Who knows?
You gotta explore, that's the only way to find out about these things.
Hear about those guys, I think it was in the early 70s, they managed to find something. They linked together a transmission between Los Angeles and New York for data transmission.
Uh-huh.
And they did it was called a green box. And they overloaded the circuit, so the circuit was locked, and they couldn't hang up the phone. And they just followed the circuit right to them.
Really?
Yes.
Sounds like something called backhold, or trap and trace, where they leave the line open and follow the path back.
Right.
So what happened to them?
That's a federal crime.
Uh-huh.
I think isn't it federal?
Wire fraud or something like that. Well, yeah, they went across state lines, so...
Yeah, and they also jammed, all the long distance lines, so nobody can make any calls.
Yeah, that's not a nice thing to do.
No.
It probably wasn't intentional either, but...
No, it's the point was they were trying to get on and off as quickly as possible, and... In their haste,
uh-huh.
They locked the circuit onto them so so and they overloaded it, and it just stayed like that. It's like the line stayed open. They couldn't close it off anyway.
And when was this?
Early 70s.
Wow.
I read it.
You probably couldn't do that today. At least not in the same way, anyway.
No, probably not, because it's all computerized, besides that.
Yeah, but
they managed to record any... Every call over 2 minutes long has a recording on it now. They mark it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Every call where?
Any call you make from your phone that's over 2 minutes
right.
is automatically registered onto a computer. It's saved.
What do you mean? The conversation is saved, or
just the number it was called from.
Right.
The number that was called, and that's how they say you can't use the blue boxes anymore.
Well, actually, that's not why you can't use a blue box anyway. The reason you can't use a blue box is because the special tones that you use to transmit the calling data aren't transmitted on the same path anymore. It's they transmit that data on a separate line, so you can't even intercept it. So that's the main reason for that.
Well, yeah, it's also to, you know, it's to protect the phone company from people trying to work out little networks.
Oh, the phone company needs plenty of protection these days, we know that. anyway, any other thoughts or news or things?
I don't know, what were you planning on talking about tonight?
Oh, I've got all kinds of things here, you know, you name it, I've got something on it. It's a busy place.
Hmm?
It's a busy place, this world.
Yeah.
You know, we got elections coming up, we've got, you know... People fleeing countries. We've got people playing with phones over here. It's always something happening.
Yeah, the elections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, are you voting?
No, I'm not old enough to vote yet.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's shut up.
If you were old enough to vote, would you vote?
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Well,
there's no independent candidates.
Uh huh. That's very true. There aren't any independent candidates, and you're not encouraged to be an independent voter because if you are, you can't vote in the primaries.
Yes.
So it's a lot of problems there. But I don't know. Maybe voting is a way of changing it too. I know locally, there's a lot of problems as far as you know, election campaigns and things like that. I mean, a lot of things that will affect us with the environment and you know, there's this whole tax thing. You know, they're throwing that at us, saying this person supports high taxes. You know, they never say, well, what are the taxes for? Is it maybe for a worthy cause or something like that? You know,
they're
appealing to people's pocketbooks, and that's never the right way to approach something, I think. Anyway,
I agree.
So we'll see.
Yeah, they're trying to get a county-wide recycling plant.
Right.
And it's been met with a lot of opposition.
Yeah, I mean, this crap has been going on for too long. We've got, the environment is the number one consideration. Forget the money. I know money is a problem for a lot of people, but it's not going to do us a whole lot of good if we don't have an environment anymore. Now, this Newsday on Tuesday, they did their endorsements.
Yes.
Now, listen to this. Fifth District, which is the district that we're in right here, and the district that all the Stony Brook students who are smart enough to have registered to vote can vote in. This is the paragraph about the 5th District they wrote. Democrat incumbent, this is for the Suffolk County Legislature, Democrat incumbent Steve Englebright faces a serious challenge, and he deserves one, from a bright, straight-shooting newcomer, attorney Anthony Moncayo. At times, Englebright has personified the loose cannon ethic of the legislature. He voted for just about every tax-cutting bill proposed, even if they were contradictory. But Englebright has been an earnest spokesman on environmental issues, especially open space preservation. And recently he has shown a willingness to ask first and shoot later, with the hope that he will mature. Newsday endorses Englebright. Now, you know, I don't understand what they're saying here. They're saying this guy, Englebright, is for the environment, and then they say he's not mature, which is, you know, I mean, I've been following this for a while. I don't understand how they reached that conclusion. You know, he's...
Well, maybe because he's blindly voting, possibly?
I can't see that, though, you know? I mean, the guy votes for the environment, no matter what, right?
Right.
And this other guy, you know, he says, well, I don't think it's a good idea to buy Robbins Island, you know, because it's, you know, it'd be a good idea to put some development there so that we don't spend all this money on it. But, you know, Robbins Island is like the last possible preservation, non-spoiled land around. We lose
right.
that, there's nothing else left. You know, I don't know how you can justify putting houses up there, putting more development, making more money when obviously we're facing a crisis. Now, you know, you can't expect everything to be, you know, peaches and roses. There's going to be taxes, there's going to be problems, there's going to be disputes. So I don't know what they expect of this guy.
Well, remember, of course, that this is Newsday, who also complained that they couldn't use recycled paper because it jammed their equipment.
Oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for them.
Well, yeah, well, see, they have a...
Newsday is one of the biggest culprits. I mean, I always get this garbage from them in the mailbox, you know, this Newsday supplement. I don't want that. I never even look at it. I don't look at Penny Saver. I don't look at Suffolk Life. I don't look at any of that junk that comes to my mailbox. And there's more of them, you know?
They just sit out there composting on the lawn. Huh?
It's obscene.
I don't think most people read those things. I mean...
Just go to any post office on a Wednesday, right? Look in the garbage cans. That'll tell you how many people read those things. There should be a law against that. I mean, those are, you know, that's like a forest coming down every time they do that.
Yeah, it is.
And not to mention all the labor that's wasted, all the money that's wasted, and God knows what else.
Time, money, paper.
Yeah, so I've just about had it with this. But, you know, no one seems to be leading the force. No one seems to be saying, well, this is what we have to do. Let's have a demonstration, that kind of thing.
We
desperately need that.
I'm in a group in my high school,
uh-huh.
An environmental group, and last year we went up to Albany to lobby.
Uh-huh. You see, we don't even have an environmental group here on campus. We've got New York Public Interest Research, but that's, you know, there used to be an environmental group just for the environment.
Well,
Myford does a lot
of things. Someone should start one.
Yeah. Well, they
people
should.
People are listening, I hope, at least.
I mean, come on, folks, it's your world, you know, this... There's nothing more important. I mean, this is more important than glasnost, even. More important than, you know, than new taxes or the space shuttle.
Yeah. At this point, things are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Styrofoam. Polystyrene.
That's another thing.
They have a million different plastics that never degrade.
This guy Engelbreit, this loose cannon of the 5th District, he's the guy that started the whole anti-plastics bill that McDonald's is so upset about and Burger King so upset about, you know, saying that you can't have these non-biodegradable material for your junk food. And it started a nationwide trend. In fact, Suffolk County has been starting lots of nationwide trends with the bottle bill and the plastics, and there's a bunch of others too, you know.
Well, I think the plastics ban is enough to get him some voters. But that's been met with a lot of opposition.
That's true. A lot of heavy opposition too from big industry and people who have lots of money. So it's conceivable, even though I haven't even seen a campaign by this opposition guy. It's conceivable that he could lose, just like Wayne Prospect lost and just like Gregory Blass lost, because these people come out from nowhere, and the supporters of the incumbents say, well, they're in no danger, so I'm not going to vote. And they just sort of sneak up and it's over, you know, and suddenly big business has won again, and and development is safe from the wildlife for another 2 years. So it's really pretty scary, and I think it's becoming more and more urgent with every year. You know, we go across ground that we can't come back across again.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you believe that newspapers should endorse candidates?
Yeah, I think they should, but...
I don't think so.
Well, you know, I think everybody should in a way.
Their business, too.
Yeah.
I think that it's... I understand there are people out there who can be easily persuaded, and they can say, well, the Post endorsed this man, and the Times endorsed this person. I don't think that's right. I think there shouldn't be any, there shouldn't be any influence from a newspaper. Which
I agree, because
the business is too.
I don't like the way Newsday does it, you know, because they do this, right? On Tuesday, they printed what they want for county legislators. The day of the election, they come up with a little guide as to who you should vote for in their eyes. And I've seen people walk into the polling booths with their little Newsday in their hands with this guide. And obviously, they're just going to, you know, push the buttons on what Newsday tells them. And yeah, Newsday is a big business. You know, they are interested in a certain number of things, and, you know, they could definitely sway a lot of people, so I see your point.
Sixth grade reading level rag.
Yeah, I see your point. But I think if more people endorsed or more organizations endorsed things, maybe it would sort of balance out.
Yeah. But, here we go. You know, we have the Newsday, of course, who's against recycling, and they're endorsing their candidates, and
we're to believe that that is an influence in their endorsements.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Thanks for calling, sir.
Okay.
Let me go on some more calls here. 632-6901. Hey, you hear about the minimum wage? $4.25 by April 1991. I mean, it's just so amazing. I can barely contain my excitement. I mean, this is the first time that the minimum wage has gone up since 1981. Since 1981, it's been $3.35. So now, all you kids out... Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. You kids won't be able to get the $4.25 because there'll be a new lower wage for you, which will be called a training wage. So if you have less than 6 months' experience, you'll get the lower training wage. That'll be 85% of the minimum wage. And don't be surprised if after 6 months, suddenly you're terminated and you have to start all over again somewhere else. $4.25. I don't know. We might be giving people a bit too much here. You know, we don't want to be throwing the money around all that much. $4.25. It's just, it's incredible. You know what the rate of inflation has been? You know, if the minimum wage went up by the, you know, the same amount that the rate of inflation went up by, people would have more money than they'd know what to do with, I'm sure. 632-6901. Good evening.
The know-all.
What's on your mind? Quick.
The all of radio.
Right, that's about all that's on his mind. Good evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What did I do?
Well, before you made a comment that I didn't like, you said
okay.
For people who were smart enough to register to vote, and I'm not old enough to vote, but if I was, I wouldn't, because I think the government is just so stupid and everyone just is lies.
Uh-huh.
And also, you were talking about how there's no environmental group on campus.
Yeah.
And NYPIRG does work with some environmental issues. And then there's the Students Against Commercial Abuse of Animals.
You
mentioned how no one holds demonstrations. And just today, we held a demonstration at a first door. So.
Okay, wait. Now, that's a campus group?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about the demonstration first.
It was an anti-fur demonstration at Stony Brook Fur Shop by Coventry Commons.
Okay. Hey, did you see the episode of L.A. Law this week about fur?
No, I don't watch TV.
Well, this one was a good one. They showed a film, actually, on network TV of animals being caught in traps, and they say these animals can stay there for as much as a week, even after chewing off their own limbs. They're still held there, and I think it was educational for a lot of people, and I'm glad they actually aired a film like that.
And many animals that they don't intend to trap, they're called trash, and then they just throw them right out.
Uh-huh. I think it's one thing when you're trapping something for food, although a lot of people will certainly, you know, who are vegetarians will disagree with that, but when it's just for vanity, you know, that's, I can't see any excuse for that.
Yeah.
How many people showed up at the demonstration?
Maybe 20 to 30.
That's not bad.
I'm not really sure.
Uh-huh. And was there any kind of reaction from community, store, or anything?
The store owners called the police down, but they were really nice about the whole thing. But the store owners were going crazy.
Oh, you probably cost them quite a bit of business. I mean, did anybody cross the picket line?
No, there wasn't. Like, I don't know. But our lives were threatened, insults hurled at us.
Well, I remember years ago there was a group at Stony Brook that marched in front of the post office against draft registration, and believe me, the reaction of some of the community people was really hostile. I was surprised at how hostile it was, and it was scary.
Yes, we were told to drop dead, and we were going to be killed, hunted down, and killed. And my friend and I commented at us, we look like we've been beat up already. A very nice guy.
Wow. So now tell me something more about this group. How can people get involved in it?
I guess you could find a number downstairs in the union. It's their office. It's the NYPIRG office, and their meetings are Tuesday night.
Okay. You don't have that number?
I can't remember it.
Okay. We'll try to find out by the end of the show. But is this a new group?
No, it's a year old.
Okay, you see, there used to be a group there that just dealt with environmental issues, recycling and things like that. And I know NYPIRG does that kind of thing, but they do so many other things that they can't really devote that much time to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to see more of a grassroots kind of thing, like an Earth Day, you know, at Stony Brook.
Yeah.
I think we certainly reached the stage where we need something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but as far as to your first comment about not voting, I can certainly understand why you reached that conclusion. But I think especially locally, it's very important because you can put people in power that will save certain parts of Long Island.
What if you believe in someone and you vote for them and then they're in office and then you find out that they were just everything they said was lies and then you help put them there? And
then you do all you can to lobby against them and you sit in at their office. You know, a couple people did that with Hochbruckner not too long ago, I think. You know, you continue. They don't forget about you because they need you, and especially at the local level because, you know, 100 votes can make a very big difference. Now, I agree with what you're saying nationally. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't make any difference what you do nationally because it's always, you know, two people that you really can't tell the difference, and it's a system that never really changes. Some people are content with that. Some people aren't. But locally, I think that's where the real power is, you know? So, and this is one of those elections that a lot of people tend to stay away from because there's no, you know, the governor's not running, the president's not running. But the bigger the office, the less it means to people like us, I think.
And I just saw something about, I don't know who it was. It was Jim, I think, Corder or something.
He's running for governor of New Jersey, I believe, Republican.
I don't know, but he was like, for years he was polluting the water and like his backyard with toxic things. I don't know exactly what it was. The sound was kind of down, but I caught every other word.
He's got his own toxic waste dump, you mean?
I don't know. No. Now I feel like this big, but I don't know what it was, but it was tough.
Well, the mudslinging has been amazing this year. It really has, especially with the mayoral race, you know? Have you been following that at all in New York City?
I don't know anything about anything, really. That was the most I knew.
Yeah, but you know, keep in mind, that's politicians like it when people don't know anything about what's going on, because then there's nobody objecting to what's happening.
Pick the name that sounds good.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people do, or a face that looks good.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Punk's Not Dead, I know. Okay?
Okay, that's good to hear.
Okay. And do you know anything about that nasty rumor that tomorrow is CBGB's last hardcore matinee?
As far as I know, it is. There was the owner of CBGB's was complaining about too much violence, and
wait, how did you hear about this? Because someone told us, and we didn't want to believe it.
Hey, I know these things. You got to keep in with the with the news of what's happening in various circles. Yeah, tomorrow is supposed to be the last hardcore show at CBGB's. Now
that can't happen.
That's according to the owner of CBGB's. He's not going to do it anymore, even though some of his most successful shows have been hardcore shows.
What else is there? Oh, bluegrass. That's always a hit.
I don't know, but you're going to get a lot of, you know, the yuppie dancing type things now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to do something about that. Pick at CBGB's. Do something.
CBGB's. That would work well.
Certainly would.
Responsible for...
I mean, we just had a hardcore show here on campus last week sometime.
Oh.
And we seem to have survived quite well.
Sick of It All and Leeway?
Sorry?
Leeway and Sick of It All, sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad show from what I heard.
I was there. It was...
And, you know, we have rap concerts, and nobody gets killed. You know, it's all media hype. That's all it is. Don't believe it.
But it's just not... It's so unfair because... It's just so unfair because then... Maybe hardcore will die. Everyone's saying punk's dead, but punk's not dead. I know.
Well, and then, I don't see how it could die, but there's a lot of people that want to see it go. That's definitely true.
Okay.
All right, well, keep on fighting.
Thank you.
Take care. 632-6901. It's good to see somebody with spirit. 632-6901. Good evening. Hello? Hello? We might have forgotten you were on the phone. Ah, yes.
I've been letting it ring so much, that's why.
Ah, you must be on campus.
What?
Are you on campus?
No.
You're not? Oh, but you have a speakerphone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, good. What's on your mind?
Nothing, really.
Oh, great. Well, can we fill it with all kinds of propaganda and things?
What?
Can we fill your mind with propaganda?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, vote your conscience, not your shoe size. What else? Oh, I can't think of anything else. Come on, there's got to be something on your mind. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called.
Oh, my boyfriend. He's so stupid. That's my friend Jody.
How stupid is he?
No, he's not stupid.
Oh. Well, for a second, I thought this was going to be an interesting call.
No, he's not stupid. I love my boyfriend.
Okay. She loves her boyfriend. Let the words resound. Okay. Apart from that, though, is there anything else you want to say?
You enjoy talking over the phone every day?
I don't do it every day.
Well, actually, I
do it every day, but not over the air every day. But it's fun. You know, there's a lot of calls coming in tonight, which is good. I like to see response. I like to see life.
About anything interesting?
You know, we were playing with the phones. We're talking about the election and the minimum wage and all that kind of thing. There's things happening.
Oh, do you ever get anything really, really interesting, like that really turns your mind?
Have I ever gotten anything interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten all kinds of insane people that call up and say things that don't really make any sense, and you kind of wonder where they're coming from and what they've experienced. Yeah, you know, there's got to be something on your mind. Oh, come on, what's the most pressing issue with you?
Oh, I hate my school.
Ah, what's your school?
William Floyd Junior High School.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, William Floyd, that's in what, Mastic?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how bad could a junior high school be? Wait, is that the one where they alternate, like, boys and girls?
Alternate?
No, well, it's like, somebody called the show once and told us about a high school or a junior high school where the boys had to leave the class first, and then the girls had to leave the class because the hallways were so crowded there was no way they could handle both.
No way.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Okay, it's not, then it could be worse.
Yeah, but, right. I don't know, the school's just, I guess, unfair.
How is it unfair?
Let's see. All right. The high school is from 10th to 12th. But in, the school system, high school is from 9th to 12th. So uh-huh. the high school is still in the 9th grade, you know, the junior high. The high school 9th graders is still in the junior high.
Right.
And we have the same rules as the high school, like the same policy about being late, they throw you out of class. You don't get credits or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to doing things at the high school, we can't do them. You know what I'm saying?
So you can't...
We can't do what the high school people can. Like, they'll have a day, like, dress-up week or spirit week, or, like, they'll be able to dress up for Halloween, like, stupid little things like that we're forbidden to do or we get kicked out of school.
Really?
Yeah. Stupid stuff like that.
So you get the penalties, but you don't get the privileges.
Yes, that's it.
Well, have any students voiced any kind of objection to this, like in a newspaper maybe?
Well, not really, but during the pep rally.
Yeah.
The high school, about 100 of us walked out of school.
Really?
Yeah, and they just didn't do nothing. They put us, for a month, they put us all in school.
Which is what?
You sit in a room all day, and you just sit there.
Oh, that's constructive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the press is probably your best tool. Is there a newspaper in your school?
Just for the high school, again.
You don't have a newspaper in your junior high school?
No, high school.
That's unusual. Well, why don't you start one?
Not me. I couldn't do something like that.
Well, you can, you know, because when I was in high school, a bunch of us got together and started an underground newspaper. And not only did we start an underground newspaper, we got the school to pay for it because we read in this little student rights handbook that we had the right to get the money from the school to print the ideas that weren't allowed to be printed in the regular school newspaper.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do it. It's just a question of getting people who are interested in it. And, you know, you find maybe you're not a writer, but maybe you can do something else. Maybe you can, you know, help distribute the thing or help get it printed or something, you know?
Yeah, but
You see, look, school is a learning experience in many ways, not just in the classroom. You're experiencing unfairness, which is something that's out there in the real world as well. Now, how do you deal with that? Do you just sort of sit back and let it happen to you, or do you sort of, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen if you stand up and say this is unfair? Think about it.
We tried. Like, we all walk out of class and we do things like that, but they don't care. They just keep punishing us, like.
Well, you know, look at what's happening in the rest of the world, all right? It started off with a couple of people demonstrating in East Germany. Now it's a million people today demonstrating in East Germany. A year. Try to get, like, you know, five more people each time. Eventually they're going to do something. Like, they'll sit down and talk with you or, you know.
But they don't talk to, like they'll sit us down and, well, we can't do this. The school, the Board of Education said this. The board.
Then this is what you do. You go to a Board of Education meeting. You can do that. We did that. You find out when the meetings are, where they are, and you get like 50 kids to go there. They have to listen to you. And if that doesn't work, you get the real press in on it. You call up Newsday or a local newspaper or something, get them to cover it. Then you'll see a story, students charge unfairness at junior high school. And believe me, things will start happening. And they won't be bad things. There was an episode of The Wonder Years last year, I think it was, where they... This is a show about the 1960s where the kids in junior high school walked out to protest the Vietnam War, and they were really scared to do it because the principal said this will go on your permanent record if you walk out of school, you know, we're going to write this down and it will follow you around for the rest of your life and you'll get in a lot of trouble. But they decided that their conscience was more important than any risk like that. And as it turned out, a lot of people walked out. And there was no permanent record because there was just so much support for it.
Yeah.
So, I think the same thing can happen. You can change it. And you really have to try because it's not going to be the last time something unfair happens to you.
Yeah, that's true.
But, let me know what happens. I'm curious about this. I'd like to know if the spirit is still out there.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening. Hello?
Hello. Hey, yeah. Is that Rick? Is that you?
Yeah. Who's this?
This is Sammy. What are you doing?
Sammy, where have you been?
I've been working upstate with a friend of mine.
Okay, yeah. What's up?
Well, I come down on a weekend, and last week I was down for the Halloween.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had the Black Mass on the air. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know what you were doing there, Black Mass.
We're playing a Satanic Mass on the air. You know, no particular reason, but we just wanted to fool all the people that were tuning into the religious station. So it was a lot of fun, I hear. Of course, I wasn't actually listening. I was out at a Halloween party.
Oh, see, yeah. Well, I was supposed to go and meet my friend Steve and Rudy.
Uh-huh.
Judy.
Steve and Judy.
And I said, I got to call him up first before I go out.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like going now. I'm going to go to bed soon. But anyway, I figured I'd call you because you was on the air.
So I am.
Yeah, just what kind of crazy thing was that Debbie talking about? With the high school?
Junior high school.
The junior high. Junior high.
She's got a legitimate gripe in that they're being strict. They're being overly strict with these
kids.
Kind
of like one of them bleachy blonde, punk blonde girl, troublemaker.
You see, Sammy, it's true. You know, you have to speak up. You have to speak up. You got to say when somebody's treating you unfairly, either as an individual or as a group of people, you got to stand up and say enough already. And don't think that it's not going to make a difference. It will.
No, I know, because the reason unreasonable man is why progress goes on.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is.
I'm not sure I understand what that means.
Well, the reasonable man goes along with the status quo, but the unreasonable man makes change.
That's okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I've been called unreasonable a lot.
Yes, well, there's different ways of being unreasonable.
So what do you mean I'm on, it's a contradiction in terms.
Uh-huh. Well, it's always the different person. Yeah, what is it? The mutation that makes the change.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a mutation, right?
Well, speaking of mutations, my friend Jimmy Landy.
Yeah?
His birthday's on Monday. He's a mutation. I don't think he was ever born.
I think it's the nicest thing you can call somebody.
Yeah.
I really do, because, you're something apart from the rest.
Yeah.
And many, many follow sometimes.
You were talking about the telephone system before.
I certainly was.
Yeah, whenever I like to, reach out and touch somebody.
Yeah.
I always call up my friend Larry and Debbie.
Yeah.
And I call them up, and they hang up on me.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Well, I call them kind of late.
What time did you call them?
I don't know. I woke up. I was hitting, I was not where I belong.
Uh huh.
But anyway, I gotta go.
Okay. Well, you go then.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Take it easy.
All right. Anybody catch the headline of the paper on Wednesday? Front page of Newsday, right? I mean, I don't even have to mention this. Of course, everybody knows about it, but I just figured I would anyway, since all the other talk shows are talking about it. Front page of our Long Island newspaper, Newsday. Ready for this, folks? JFK Jr. flunks bar exam. I mean, what the hell is that even doing in the newspaper, let alone on the front page? John F. Kennedy Jr., who has been toiling in the legal vineyards of the Manhattan District Attorney's Office since August, has failed the New York State bar examination, law enforcement sources said. Can you imagine, like, waking up and seeing your SAT scores on the front page of the paper? It's like, you know, isn't this an invasion of someone's privacy to be able to do this? I think it is. I mean, yeah, okay, you can find out if somebody's failed the bar exam, but does it have to be splattered on the front page? I mean, yeah, he's John F. Kennedy's son. Big deal. Who cares? He's a person just like everybody else, you know? I think this is a good example of how it's really hard to live life out as a celebrity, you know, because everything you do is open to scrutiny, you know? You don't get the same kind of treatment. Yeah, sometimes you get away with something, but more times you get away with a lot less, and you can't live a normal life. Hey, 632-6901. Good evening. Hello? How come everybody is pausing before they start talking? Is anybody there? I believe in giving people chances, but I guess nobody's there. Oh, well. That's a shame. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, who's there?
Well, what's with all this Fugazi?
Excuse me?
What's with all this Fugazi?
You'll have to define your terms.
I think it's a band. Fugazi? I don't know what the name means. Perhaps it's just Dada-inspired nonsense.
Okay, what's with all this god-awful nonsense?
No. The band Fugazi. Dadaist-inspired nonsense.
Okay.
I don't know what the name of the band means, but they're a hardcore band, I think.
Okay.
Fugazi.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with them, but I believe you.
They're the next big thing, believe me.
They're the next big thing.
Yeah, they stop playing whenever someone starts slam dancing. Is that what they're calling?
Yeah. They stop playing?
Yeah, that's...
Why?
You know, they don't like people slam dancing. And what's this thing called, moshing or something?
Moshing.
Just point out that people need... There's something I heard about called moshing.
Hold on. Someone's handed me a record from Fugazi called Margin Walker. This is what you're talking about. Fugazi is Ian McKay, Brendan Canty, Joe Lally, and Guy Picciotto.
Ex-Minor Threat front man.
Yeah, and this was recorded in December 1988, and yeah, it's kind of neat. Wow, yeah, it looks like a good record. Let's see what this sounds like. Hold on, we're actually gonna sample a bit of this on the air. That's the right key, isn't it? Okay, well, maybe you want to request that on the air then, during one of our music shows.
Oh, did you just play it?
Yeah, I just played it. Didn't you hear it?
No, I couldn't hear it.
Oh, well, you have to listen to your radio to hear it.
Oh.
But yeah, we have the record. We always get records here, and unlike other radio stations, we play them.
I think that's sort of controlling, though.
Sorry?
It's sort of controlling. It's sort of the way... I mean, don't lots of people go to see hardcore bands to slam dance.
Right.
And then they stop it. It's sort of, I guess I want to get onto a free speech thing. Well, I had two things.
Okay.
But one's too esoteric, I think, maybe.
Well, all right, get to the non-esoteric one for the moment, anyway.
Okay, if you're into, you're a paragon of humanity and communication, if you will, no?
Okay, I'll accept.
Label jars, not people. So, there are fewer and fewer media outlets on which I, as a groupie, as a fan of Mr. Radio, if you will, are able to hear him in that creative little creature known as Stiltskin. And it's, I mean, he has a dopey beginning, but why not try and dialogue and suck him into a conversation?
Well, I'd be glad to suck him into a conversation or any other kind of black hole or anything like that, but if he could speed up the know-all, do-all, you know, if he could, like, say it, this is a know-all, do-all, you know, and get it over with in maybe under 5 seconds, then I might listen to what he has to say. But I can't sit around for 30 seconds waiting for his whole intro to go. I mean, you know, this radio show has a shorter intro than he does. So that's the reason for that. We don't want too much, presentation of callers.
Well, I guess the pressures of commercial radio or something. But one thing about What do you mean when you say the most creative, not the creative, the most successful shows that CB Sleazy's have been hardcore shows? Because I know, I mean, the most, do you mean that in terms of aesthetics or in terms of economics? Because
certainly as far as aesthetics, but economically, I know they haven't done too badly with these hard, I mean, they're well attended. It's really, I mean, where else are there hardcore shows? Not very many places, certainly.
The most crowded I've ever seen CB Sleazy's was about 10 years ago when the friggin' Runaways played there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't judge a success by how crowded it is. The fact is, are they providing something that no one else is doing or something that there is a, you know, a desire for? You know, and I think there is a desire for this. You know, and you know, of course, if it's been overly violent, then there's a problem. But I think there's other ways of addressing the problem rather than just canceling it outright.
Yeah, that guy Hilly's just being hypocritical then, because you know there used to be lots of Hell's Angels in that place, trash in that place all the time.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well I'll save the bit about God later on. I haven't really fully evaluated whether or not you're a godless secular humanist, but I'm suspicious of the fact that you probably are.
Okay, well, when you reach the conclusion, let me know, because I've you know, I haven't really devoted much time to figuring it out myself.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I appreciate it when other people take that over, you know, because I don't really have time to think about it, so if someone else can reach the conclusions for me, I'll be most happy about that.
Okay.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Where are you calling from?
Bayshore.
Okay. What's up?
Not much.
Didn't we have another Chris from Bayshore call?
Yeah, that was a...
It's the second Chris from Bayshore, eh?
Yep, that was a different Chris.
That Chris isn't in the same room with you by chance, is he?
Yes, he is.
Ah, what a coincidence. What's on this Chris's mind?
Nothing in particular.
How come everything you say is I hear like a reverse echo? Like
I don't know, because the other Chris is a big loser.
Ah. Well, that's okay. We'll write that down then for the next time he calls. Anything else?
I don't know. I was just calling.
Just calling. You have nothing better to do than just call up a radio show and annoy all the thousands of people that are listening.
No, I'm not 12. I was hearing what you were saying before about Newsday and all that.
Yeah. Now, that's not fair. I can't do that. I can only do this.
sorry, I didn't mean to hit the buttons over there.
That's okay. I know it was an accident. Listen, how old are you if you're not 12?
13.
13. Tell me, is it fun to be 13? When I was 13, it was sort of fun, but is it still fun?
No, not really.
Not really, because all of us have grown up, and now we're really, like, sticking it to these poor kids and putting all these rules and regulations and, you know, making it seem a lot worse than it really is, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, on behalf of my generation, tough luck, kid. Sorry.
These jerks over here keep on yelling at me, Chris and Matt.
Well, you can always murder them in your sleep, right? No, I'm sorry, in their sleep. I messed it up. I messed up that line. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You'll have your day of reckoning with them.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Take care. 632-6901. Oh, yes. Good to see the generation gap get violent. But that's really what it is, I think. I think we're going crazy with all this. Just say no. Just say no to everything. Just say no to sex. Just say no to drugs. Just say no to all the nasty things that have been around since time began. You know? And we have reason, of course, now. We've got all this evidence pointing to how horrible things can really be if we let them get out of hand. There's so much crime in the street. There's so many drugs everywhere you look. People having sex in elevators and things like that, you know? And what are you gonna do? You gotta ban things. You gotta ban drugs. You gotta ban flag burning and criticism and, you know, rock music and movies. Oh, God, yeah, I mean, nudity in movies, you know what that does to people. You just gotta stop it all. Stop it all and get everybody to calm down and not raise so many problems. You know, I was thinking about the flag burning issue last week. And, you know, we really should take this to an extreme. We really should, you know, test it on every possible level. Now, there are a couple of people that already have burned a flag. And, you know, most people say, hey, that's terrible. You shouldn't burn a flag. You know, these people deserve to be shot or something like that. But let's look at the bigger picture, okay? Now, it's not cool to burn a flag in my eyes. I mean, you know, obviously I don't want anything burned in my eyes, but I mean, what I mean by that is it's not, in my opinion, it's not cool to do that. But should it be illegal because it's not cool? Because it's something that people object to? You know, like, I object when people say that, you know, we should kill all people with blonde hair and blue eyes and, you know, destroy all buildings that are run by the government, things like that. You know, all kinds of unreasonable things that would take too long to accomplish anyway. But it's you can't make that illegal in itself, right? It's stupid. I mean, make it illegal to, you know, to... Look, the flag is a symbol, and burning the flag is another symbol, okay? It's not a very tasteful symbol, but you can't go around outlawing symbols, right? It's like... A swastika. Is a swastika illegal? I don't think it is. But, I mean, a swastika is a lot more offensive to me than a flag on fire. But I don't think a swastika is illegal, you know? If I see one, I'll do some burning of my own, probably. But, you know, outlawing it is just, it brings the government a place where it shouldn't be. And I was thinking a perfect parallel to all this. Remember all the fuss we were raising when Salman Rushdie put out Satanic Verses, right? And people were saying, well, yeah, you know, it's horrible what he's saying. You know, Islamic people are really upset by this, but he should have the right to say it nonetheless. They shouldn't go around threatening him. Now, it's the same thing. We're not threatening people who burn flags with death, but we are threatening them with our version of law enforcement. So it's really the same thing. And if you're going to give somebody the right to say something blasphemous about Islam, then they should have the right to say something blasphemous about the American flag or, you know, do something blasphemous about the American flag, like burn it. But, I mean, that's just one step away from speech, you know? What's the difference between burning a flag and saying, hey, the flag stinks, I wish it didn't exist? Same thing, really, you know? It's symbolic. It's something most people would find distasteful. So it's stuff to consider. Now, if you wear a flag on your shirt, right, and you set yourself on fire, how much trouble are you in? Huh? Think about that. If somebody plunges a knife through your heart while you're wearing a shirt that has an American flag on it, have they defaced the American flag in addition to killing you? I mean, these are things we should start thinking about now, you know, before it gets totally out of hand. Anyway, the people who are testing the flag burning thing, let's see. Three demonstrators arrested in a flag-burning protest on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. A Vietnam veteran who became an anti-war activist, a 24-year-old New York City artist, and a 24-year-old whose controversial display of the flag at a Chicago art exhibit earlier this year prompted demonstrations. And they have become the first people to test the law, the new flag desecration law that has taken effect. Now, in a remarkable parallel, Iranian parliament approved a bill on Halloween allowing Iran to arrest any American anywhere who offends it. That's almost as great as the flag-burning thing. The Chief Justice, Ayatollah Mohammad Yazdi, said the bill, approved by 150 members of the 270-seat parliament, responded to the, quote, bullying nature, unquote, of the United States. He referred specifically to a Justice Department ruling that United States government agents could pursue and apprehend terrorists abroad without the permission of foreign governments, which he called the worst kind of terrorism and kidnapping. The bill must be approved by the Council of Guardians, who are 12 religious leaders and experts on Islamic law who decide constitutional questions. Now, think about that, though. I mean, if you offend Iran, okay, they can come and arrest you, no matter where you are, right? So if you want to like put yourself on their map, you know, if you want to get yourself targeted, you can call us up now and offend Iran. Say something nasty about Iran, and you will be in trouble. Okay, that's reasonable, right? And if you want to say something about the American flag and get in trouble for that, too, we'll offer you, you know, we'll give you the rope to hang yourself with. Someone's got to do it, right? So it's a public service. 632-6901, good evening. Hello? What's going on here? Are there people alive out there? Are they just calling up and running away? Good evening.
Hi, it's Chris again.
Chris.
How you doing?
Okay, what's up?
So you're talking about flag burning now?
Yeah, make it quick, though, because we got other calls.
Oh, okay. My friend here, he's saying that burning the flag is not desecration. Burning the flag is only the only way to get rid of a flag.
Uh-huh.
If you have an old flag, you're not supposed to throw it in the garbage.
No, he's right. He's right. And you know, I saw a letter to Dear Abby a few weeks ago where somebody was terrified, saying, well, I want to get rid of this flag, and I know I'm supposed to burn it, but if I do, I might get in trouble, so what do I do? And it's really become stupid, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, things have flags on them. Lots of things have little American flags on them. And if you by accident burn one of them, you know, you're facing time.
Well, I don't think the flag should be desecrated. I think that's extreme.
I don't think it should be either, but I really don't think the flag needs a law to protect it from its own citizens.
But I think it does, because the citizens, you know, it has to be there somewhere. And it's obvious that the citizens of this country don't have enough respect for...
Yeah, but if they don't have respect, that's the problem, and you're not going to fix that with a law.
Yeah, you are going to fix that with a law, because I think people will think twice if there's a prison sentence involved.
Yeah, like they think twice before they go around shooting people, right?
Some people do think twice before shooting people.
Yeah, some people shoot twice before shooting people. It's, you know, I know what you're saying, and I know what you mean, but... I just don't see it as necessary. If there is no other country really needs to do this except for the real extremist ones, it's like, you know, ask yourself, why don't people have respect?
I still uphold my opinion on you can't desecrate the flag. I think there should be a prison sentence involved. I think it's wrong. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it
stamp on a flag, and that little nitwit artist, supposedly quote unquote artist.
Uh-huh.
Who had the little book where you can sign your name in if you step over the flag. I think that's ridiculous. I think that man should be put in jail.
Well, wait a minute. Put in jail for suggesting something like that?
I think it's illegal. I think it's ridiculous. It's desecration of the flag.
Yeah, but I mean, you know...
It's out and out desecration. It's not art.
In your opinion, right?
I think... any patriotic American's opinion would believe that that is art.
I don't know. I think people would disagree with that.
I think even people who aren't patriotic.
Uh-huh.
Yes, liberals.
Uh-huh.
Socialists. They'll disagree.
Yeah? What's your point?
My point is the flag is an important symbol. It's a symbol of the freedom in the United States. Now, I know I signed a listic here, but... I don't think it should be burned. I don't think it should be stamped on. I don't think it should be spit on. I don't think it should be stepped on. I think it should be just, you know, left alone. It's supposed to be put. It's supposed to be flown in the air.
How about it?
It's not supposed to be flown in the rain. It's not supposed to be flown upside down.
Well, it is.
Ship in distress.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, you can go anywhere and you'll see flags flying at night in the rain, no matter what. I mean, you know, that's nobody cares about that. Yeah, this opens up a whole kettle of worms here. Like, if I take a picture of George Bush and set that afire, is that just as bad?
What it's...
Apart from it being toxic?
What?
You know, burning photographs, but...
burning photographs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just, you know, I think we're getting into stuff that
nothing
it's going to be very hard to get
but
out of.
What we're talking about here is something... Nobody even has... It just shows that nobody really has respect for what this country is all about anymore.
I don't think that's true, because I think this is exactly what this country is all about.
Who's burning the flag? Communists are burning the flag.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
One of the guys who, you know, he was one of the major men in this thing, was a communist.
Well, the people that burned the flag last week are not communists.
I have a problem with people stamping on the flag.
Sorry?
I have a problem with people desecrating the flag. I don't agree with it.
Okay, you don't agree with it, but, you know... I mean,
I think there should be a law against
it. If I outlawed everything I didn't agree with, this place would be a really weird place. Listen, sir, I got to go on to other calls, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, I was calling before after that girl with her junior high.
Yeah?
And I'm in junior high school also, and I have the same thing with the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
Yeah?
And I think maybe there is a newspaper at her school, and she's just not aware of it, because...
Do you go to her school?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, what evidence do you have that there's a newspaper at her school?
No, I said I think there could be.
Oh.
And maybe she's just not aware of it, because they don't come out that often.
That's true, yeah. That could be.
Maybe, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, what my point was, there can be more. There doesn't have to be just one. You know, anybody can start something, and it can be funded by the school or not funded by the school. I mean, anybody, you know, has access to a computer these days, and a lot of people do, can just print something up on dot matrix and distribute it around, you know?
With the flag burning thing,
Ralph?
I am not patriotic at all. I don't like the USA. But, I mean, I'm not saying people should go out and burn the flag, but if they do, that's their choice.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, consider this. What you just said about not liking the USA, that's only like two steps away from burning the flag. So we just take a couple of more steps, and what you just said could have been illegal.
I'm afraid of fire, though, so I would do it. But, and that's another thing in school with saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We're forced to stand up, and I don't even want to do that much.
Now, that's interesting, because when I was going to school, they stopped doing that. I thought it was rescinded for a while. Now it seems to be back.
I won't recite it. Actually, I forget it now.
Uh-huh.
Because I just think it's stupid, and I don't believe in it, and I'm not going to say something that I don't believe in.
Well, I mean, the country stops being democratic when democracy or certain ideals are forced upon you.
And one other thing. I was very angered before when that guy called up about Fugazi and CBGBs.
Yeah?
Oh, sorry, CB Sleazies.
Whatever.
Okay?
Yeah?
And Fugazi, you can hear them on USB on the show Turmoil.
Right.
Wednesdays. I like them a lot.
Wednesdays at 10:30. You're on USB.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Listen, I want to squeeze in a couple more calls. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, good evening.
Hello?
As they fumble for the phone, yes.
Hi, it's me again.
How you doing? What's up?
Listen, the girl that was just on the phone, did she say that she was against what I was saying?
Well, no, she didn't. She didn't. She just said that maybe there is a newspaper in your school and you're not aware of it. It's possible. Look around. There might be a paper that hasn't published yet or something.
No, there's not. I know there's not. I've been in that school for years.
Okay, well, then you want to, you know, there should be one. I know there was one in my junior high school. It wasn't very good, but...
Yeah, I know. They don't say nothing. They're like little things with like little messages like, oh, this one says loves and kisses and junk like that. Like, what do we care? Who cares about who? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, people, all the adults are telling me that, oh, we're wrong, we're kids, and that we should do this, and we should... I don't care what they say. I don't care.
Well, you know, listen to what they say, but make sure they listen to what you say, too, because, you know...
Mike!
You're every bit of a person, as much of a person. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call here. Good evening.
Yeah, about the flag burning thing?
Yeah?
I really don't think that there should be a law against burning it, because if you need a law against burning it, then there's just something wrong with that, you know? If people want to burn it, you got to find out why they want to burn it. What, you know, what do they not like about the country?
Yeah, it's something we can all learn from. And, you know, I think all this publicity has gotten more people to say, you know, at a protest that they have the right to do this. It's not the same thing as, you know, as being unpatriotic. A lot of times people that do something like that are showing their patriotism, showing, you know, sometimes you gotta lash out against those people or those things that are closest to you in order to change things, in order to show your displeasure.
Yeah.
And same thing here.
And about the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah?
It's the same thing in our school. Plus, we have a moment of silence.
Really?
Which, it's never silent during, but, you know... but, you know, I got along with that. It's just, I don't know why we... You know, they're even... It started in my social studies class. They're even starting thinking about protesting it.
Yeah?
So...
Well, let me know how that goes, because
okay.
That's the kind of thing that's happening around the country.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thanks to everybody that called in. Sorry to those we didn't get to. We'll have the phones open for a bit longer next week. How's that? Yeah, and just save your comments. Write them down. Remember to tune in again next week from 10 to 12 for brain damage. I'm Eric Corley. Been with you for the last couple hours. Thanks again. See you soon. Bye.
in my head.